Have you ever felt like a fraud, convinced that everyone around you is just sitting there waiting to expose your perceived inadequacies? In this episode, we delve into the deceptive grip of imposter syndrome. Join us as we uncover the truth that in reality, no one is scrutinizing your every move. They're too preoccupied with battling their own doubts and striving for their own success. It's time to break free from the chains of self-doubt and embrace your true worth. That's all coming up next in this episode of Stop Doubting Your Dream. Welcome to Stop Doubting Your Dream. I'm your host, Jeff Meyer, and each week I'll give you practical steps to turn your dream into a viable source of income so you can live without regret, reshape your future, and create the meaningful change you want to see in the world, all without leaving your day job. Let's dive in. Welcome back. This is episode 88, Feeling Like a Fraud, Discounting Your Accomplishments, Attributing All Your Success to Luck, Imposter Syndrome. There's so many negative impacts of imposter syndrome. I think of the impact on motivation, on performance, on overall well-being. Add to these the negative impacts like undermined relationships, you know, that constant feeling like you're a fraud that leads to distrust. Add to these the negative impact like undermined relationships. Constantly feeling like a fraud can lead to distrust and strained relationships as you struggle to be authentic or open up to others. Career stagnation. Fear of being exposed can prevent you from taking on new challenges or pursuing advancement opportunities, leading to being stuck right where you're at. Mental health issues, anxiety, depression, as you experience persistent feelings of inadequacy. Perfectionism. I got a little exercise later for you, you who struggle with perfectionism. Imposter syndrome can fuel perfectionistic tendencies, leading you to set unrealistically high standards for yourself and experience intense anxiety when they're not met. Keep going. Burnout and self-sabotage. You might actually engage in self-defeating behaviors such as procrastination or avoiding opportunities to avoid the possibility of failure or being exposed as a fraud. Many of us, myself included, are guilty of second-guessing ourselves. I did a little research this week, and it was phenomenal what I learned about this term, which is not that old. It actually, the term imposter syndrome was originally called the imposter phenomenon, and it came originally in a published work in 1978 in the journal Psychotherapy Theory, Research, and Practice. It was the first time it was named officially in any work. And I stumbled across this article from the New Yorker, written by Leslie Jamieson about a year ago, February 6, 2023. And she introduced the article with the title, Why Everyone Feels Like They're Faking It, and introduced me to Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes. They were colleagues at Oberlin College, and they spent 5 years talking to more than 150 successful women, students and faculty members at several universities, professionals in fields including law, nursing, and social work, and they recorded their findings in a paper called The Imposter Phenomenon in High-Achieving Women, Dynamics and Therapeutic Intervention. They wrote that women in their sample were particularly prone to an internal experience of intellectual phoniness, living in perpetual fear that some significant person will discover that they are indeed intellectual imposters. But it was this process that they went through of discovery that helped Clance and Imes formulate this concept. And they were started. They started their work as they were recognizing their own feelings in each other and their students, and that they've been experiencing these feelings their entire lives. Originally called imposter phenomenon. I'm going to just share some excerpts from this article. You can read it in the New Yorker, February 6, 2023. Again, the title is Why Everyone Feels Like They're Faking It in the New Yorker. Maya Angelou once said, I have written 11 books, but each time I think, uh-oh, they're going to find out now. I've run a game on everybody, and they're going to find me out. In the article, they talk about how currently, right now, in our modern-day world, 2024, there's a growing resistance to the term imposter syndrome. Here's a quote from the article. As the backlash against the concept of imposter syndrome spreads, other critiques have emerged. If everyone has it, does it exist at all? Or are we simply experiencing a kind of humility inflation? Perhaps the widespread practice of confessing self-doubt has begun to encourage, to demand even, repeated confessions of the very experience that the original concept was trying to dissolve. The Australian scholar and critic Rebecca Harkins Cross, who often felt like an imposter during her university days, struggling with insecurities she now connects to her working class background, has become suspicious of the ways imposter syndrome serves a capitalist culture of striving. She told me, quoting the article again, she told me, capitalism needs us all to feel like imposters because feeling like an imposter ensures we'll strive for endless progress, work harder, make more money, try to be better than our former selves and the people around us. They even go on in this article, and boy, did this cut me to the quick. Maybe you too. Many in our American culture live with so much financial debt with credit. Okay, here's the quote from the article. Paying for things on credit without being able to afford them literalizes a crucial facet of imposter syndrome, the anxiety that you are getting what you have not paid for and do not deserve, that you will eventually be found out and your bill will come due. And then in parentheses, capitalism always wants you to believe you have a bill to pay. The definition of imposter syndrome in this article is this. It is the fear of being exposed as inadequate. Jameson concludes her article, imposter phenomenon as a concept effectively functions as an emotional filing cabinet organizing a variety of fraught feelings that we can experience as we try to reconcile three aspects of our personhood. One, how we experience ourselves. Two, how we present ourselves to the world. And three, how the world reflects that self back to us. The phenomenon names an unspoken, ongoing crisis arising from the gaps between these various versions of the self and designates not a syndrome, but an inescapable part of being alive. Ooh. What can we do to combat this inescapable part of being alive? I've moved on from the article now. What can we do if it's an inescapable part of being alive and we don't want to live with it because it's got negative effects? What can we do? Well, here's four things, just real quickly. We can challenge our negative self-talk. I talk a lot about this because it's so prevailing. We can challenge our negative self-talk. Number two, we can celebrate accomplishments, even the little ones. Number three, we can focus on progress, not perfection. And number four, we can visualize success and what that looks like tangibly for us. In the show notes in this particular episode, you're going to find an opportunity to download a free tool, a PDF. It's an exercise, actually, built specifically from point number three that I just made above. What can we do to combat this inescapable part of being alive? And I felt like number three right now, with the clients I'm working with, is probably the most prominent. And so I designed an exercise, and I want to share it with you. I call it the Progress Journal. It helps us focus on progress, not perfection. It shifts focus from perfection to progress by acknowledging and celebrating small wins. There's some simple steps in this exercise. I don't want to go through them all right here in the podcast, but I do want to say that one part, one step in this exercise are what I'm calling daily entries. At the end of each day, reflect on your accomplishments, no matter how small, and write down in this order four things about each of those accomplishments. What were the tasks you completed today? What were challenges you overcame? What were the skills you practiced or improved? And what were the lessons you learned today? And if you do that over the course of a week, you can start to see some patterns emerge. Anyway, download the PDF and it'll be really helpful for you, your own progress journal. I want to talk a little bit right now about how do we know when we're starting to wrestle with this concept of imposter syndrome? Can we kind of identify it and acknowledge it? And then how do we identify imposter syndrome? Can we identify it with some feelings that begin to emerge in our bodies? I was thinking about this in my own life. When I begin to feel anxiety, you know, racing thoughts about my abilities and fears of being exposed, or I start wrestling with doubt, persistent questioning of my own competence and worth, even in the face of evidence that suggests otherwise, right? When I begin to feel dread, fear, apprehension about meeting the expectations or failing to live up to someone's standards, or insecurity, inferiority, comparing myself with others when faced with challenges, maybe even guilt or shame, blaming myself for perceived shortcomings or mistakes and feeling ashamed of not being good enough, and the stress, the increased tension or pressure that stems from this belief that I must continually prove myself to others. These are some of the feelings that can be like an alarm going off. Hey, 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 imposter syndrome. And if you don't believe in imposter syndrome, you certainly believe in these feelings that we all have, right? It's the inescapable part of being alive. What can we do with it? Well, the progress journal is one step, but there's another step we can take. We can sit back and think about the way of Jesus. You know, I'm your way of Jesus guide, right? So everything we talk about in this podcast, I want to talk also about what does Jesus have to say about this? And certainly 1978 was pretty recent. So Jesus never used terms like imposter syndrome, but he did talk a lot about identity, who we are, right? And I want to share with you two simple texts from Jesus in the Gospels, two different Gospels, where Jesus talks about who you are. And it's really important to remember who we are when we start to think about ourselves in terms of being an imposter, because you're not. You're not an imposter, and you're not struggling with imposter syndrome. You're dealing with the inescapable reality of being alive. And Jesus has something to say about that. Jesus had something to do about that. Here's the two passages I want you to reflect on right alongside of your progress journal. John 1, verse 12. Jesus said these words, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Not the words of Jesus, but in the Gospel of John, John wrote these words. If you receive him, if you believe in his name, He has given you the right to become not imposters, but children of God. Wow, what an amazing identity. Even when I fall short of others' expectations or my own, I'm a child of God. Thanks be to Jesus. Jesus does say in Matthew 10, verse 29 and following, he draws a comparison between the natural world and how he cares for it and how he cares for us, and then assigns worth using that story. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Our identity in Christ is our foundation. And so, man, when you start feeling the stress, the guilt, the shame, the insecurity, the fear, the apprehension, the doubt, the racing thoughts and anxiety that you might be exposed as a fraud, acknowledge the feelings, feel all the feels, and hear Jesus say to you, you're a child of God. You're worth more than many sparrows, and I care for every single sparrow. So also, I care for you. And be reminded of your rock-solid identity in Jesus. Thanks so much for joining me today for another episode of Stop Doubting Your Dream. I want to invite you to explore all my social media and my blog for more tips and insights on this and other items that will help you stop doubting your dream and move forward anyway. Next week, we're going to take a deeper dive into one of those presenting feelings that fuels our imposter syndrome, self-doubt, and examine some practical strategies to crush it and boost our confidence. So see you next week. And as always, remember, the journey towards your dream begins today. Take action with a single step.